Tired muscles and joints welcome cool rain. Kissing the sky, Jude allows the rain to pelt his stubbly face, to soak his cropped hair, to dampen his gray sweats. Mounted to the block wall behind him is a reflective exit sign in a lit spotlight. To his right, a blue dumpster, the letters BFI printed on the four metal side panels. To his left, an open sea of cracked and blistered blacktop. Beyond that, a too dark nothing that stretches all the way beyond the Canadian border. Dead ahead, he spots two people. What at first glance appears to be a long-haired man chasing a t-shirted man from out of the old Malloy gravel pit. Two grown men stumble down the pit embankment, crash through second-growth woods like two hunted deer, until spilling out onto the flat lot. Back pressed up against the block wall, Jude watches, listening to his heartbeat inside his temples. He's no stranger to the pit. As a boy, he used to play Johnny Quest inside the Big Dig during the day. But never at night, when the Lake George dark monster came out of hiding. Standing in the rain, his mind recalls deep craters, jagged shale, abandoned automobiles, empty beer bottles, used condoms and rock piles galore. The images flash back while he works up a smile. Black Bear's Bar and Grill is located on the opposite north end of the old pit. Black Bear's is open all night for the commercial salmon and charter fishermen and their pickled livers. As for the running men, they must be drunk as rabid skunks. Pulling himself away from the wall, he sucks in a wet breath, prepares for the 2-mile jog back home to pregnant wife and child. When the t-shirted man drops to his knees on the pavement and Longhair raises up a hand, exposing a silenced automatic. What happens next takes forever. And an instant. Longhair extends his right arm, presses the automatic to T-shirt's head. Scream! He orders in a strange, high-pitched voice. Scream for me! The man on his knees hesitates, peering slowly up at the long-haired man. He doesn't scream. He produces only silence and a frightened smile. Until Longhair thumbs back the hammer on the automatic. Scream for me, he repeats, bringing a handheld device to the mouth of the t-shirted man. T-shirted man loses his smile. He lowers his head, swallows a deep breath. He screams. Screams so loud the guttural shriek bounces off the side of the gym and rattles Jude's bones. He screams directly into the handheld device, a device that by now Jude is certain is an iPhone. When the scream is finished, and the t-shirted man's lungs are empty of oxygen, silence returns to the lot. That's when two muzzle flashes light the dark sky for two brief instances. Longhair takes a step back. T-shirt falls face first. French kisses a rain puddle. God Almighty, Jude whispers to himself. But there's nothing God Almighty can do now. Longhair slides the automatic into a shoulder holster and pockets the iPhone. Sensing another presence, he turns, laser beams a gaze in the ex-cop's direction. It's then that Jude's body suddenly becomes a pinprick balloon. All strength bleeds out of his feet. He drops down onto the wet lot, rolls his body behind the BFI dumpster, hides himself behind stacks of cardboard and rain-drenched newspapers. Heart beats a berserk rhythm. Hands tremble. Adrenaline-filled brain becomes an orchestral symphony warming up inside the skull until the roar of a car engine and burning rubber kills the music. Longhair's getting away. What's the ex-cop gonna do? Ex-cop is gonna listen to the demon inside his chest, and he's gonna sit still, play dead. The car approaches, downshifts.